Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. First, my name is Cynthia, he said it, and I serve on the staff here at Church on the Rock, and I'm so honored and blessed to be able to have this opportunity. Thank you, Timothy, for that introduction. Also, thank Pastor Josh for this opportunity as well, for letting me do this. This is a sacred place, and I don't take it for granted. Also, I want to give honor to my husband. I believe he's somewhere up in the balcony. He's working, so I thank God for him, and I thank God for my family and friends that came out today to support me. This is just overwhelming, and I love everybody. Thank you for those tuning in online. I'm so glad that you chose us. You could have chose so many other channels, but you chose Church on the Rock, so thank you. I'm going to get right into it because what I have to say is not as important what I believe God is going to do in this place today, and I'm excited about what he's going to do. Today, as Pastor Audrey alluded to earlier, that today is going to look a little different. I am going to be doing an altar call at the end, and we're going to have prayer partners come up, and we're praying over you right now as you sit. We've been praying over you all week that God will allow you the strength and the courage to come forth if you need to. Because I know so many times people say altar call, people get scared. People like, oh, they're going to think I'm going through this. We all need to be at the altar, honestly. I need to come down and get at the altar. And I think Aline alluded to it last Sunday. She said it so great, and it went with my word. And it was like, God, thank you for saying that what I'm doing is in tune with the Spirit. Aline said last Sunday that we're on the stage here at this high school, and as Aaron said today, this is a house of God because we're here and we're the people of God. But we're on this stage, and this is our altar, and we lay things down at the altar and leave them there. We don't pick them up and take them back with us, and I think that's so key that this is an altar. All right, so I want to get straight into my message, but first I would like to say my family is here, but anytime I spoke all throughout my life, my mom has always been my cheerleader. My mom is the one that, as soon as I find out I'm speaking, she calls the whole entire family, friends, and she's like, "Sin is speaking. I need y'all to be there." And it'd be a slew of people come because of my mom. My mom, unfortunately, those that know me know my situation, but my mom is sick right now. She had a massive stroke in April, and it affected the left side of her brain, and it paralyzed her right side. She's not mobile anymore. She can't speak anymore. She only says yes, and it's not a confirmation. It's just yes, yes, yes. She says other words here and there. She's in speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. She has a feeding tube in. I'm rushing through this, y'all, because I'm trying to get somewhere. She has a feeding tube in. She hasn't taken anything by mouth since April. She takes her medicine through it and everything. She was in Shands in Gainesville for like 3 weeks. And they transfer her to a rehabilitation center, and she's been there since. She's been rushed to the emergency room from the Plaza Health Rehabilitation Center 2 times since being in this, having this massive stroke. And it's been different things. Just this week, me and Jonathan Davis always joke about when it's time for you to speak, seem like the devil just like wanna tear you down and like try to just rampage on you. And just this week I got a call like that she fell out of her bed some type of way, and they had to rush her to the emergency room because she was complaining about her legs and her abdominal area. I say all of this to say that I've been in a period of darkness, and if you can see behind me is a time-lapse video. I don't know about you, but sometimes my life looks like this. One time it's like, oh, I'm on a high, things are going great, and then darkness comes. Complete darkness comes. But how many know, I don't even see if you're not serving Christ, how you can make it. Because with Christ, even in that dark place, he's right there. In that dark place, we could turn off all the lights in here. Y'all are not going to disappear. Y'all gonna still be right here. And that's what I had to remember to myself, like, even if I'm in the dark, God is right there with me. And I have to find him, though. I have to choose to see him. So many times we get in that pit, whether it be divorce, a loss of a child, a loss of a parent, financial troubles, anxiety, depression, cancer, illness. It's multiple things that you could go through this dark periods in your life. Bad grades in school for all ages. Bad friendships, broken relationships, girlfriends, boyfriends breaking up. Confused about what to do with your life because you done graduated. It's so many different dark areas we could be in our life. But then we have those high moments and we get engaged, we get married, we have a kid, we go down the island, we get a new house, we get a new car, we get a job, we get a raise. And sometimes in those bright moments, we tend not to see God because we'd be like, oh, it was me that did that. I did that. I'm so smart. He loved me, so he chose to marry me. But when we get in the pit, we like, God, you done left us. You know, we do God like that. But he's in both of those moments. He's in both of those moments. Think about the brightest time in your life. Those happiest moments in your life. Did you acknowledge God? And just to get to my topic, if you don't get it, it's brightness and darkness. Brightest to darkness and darkness. Darkest. Happy and sad. I just chose brightest to darkest, but it's happy and sad. Whatever you want to say. Think about the darkest moments in your life. Did you see God in it? Did you choose to see him in it? Because we have a choice, people. Right. You can be depressed, down, woe is me, throw a pity party and nobody shows up. Because we like to do that, and we invite people to it. But did you see God in all of those moments? What I love about God is he makes us promises, and he gives us directions, and he gives us certain assurances. Romans 8 and 28 is going to be up behind me. It says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called to his purpose. You know, years ago hearing that scripture, I always was like, oh, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Everything worked together for the good for me. No, that's not what that scripture says. We have to take our time when we read scriptures because it doesn't say that. It says, we know that all things work together for the good. Not your good, the ultimate good, God's good. The ultimate good is when we please God, when our hope and faith are in Christ alone, not in our goodness. Because brother, you know it or not, we have no goodness. God is the goodness. We do good things through him. You know, it's good people going to hell. You know, we don't say that word these days in church. But it's good people going to hell. It's good people that feed people, clothe people, and they don't even believe in Jesus Christ. So it's not in our goodness. It's for the good, the ultimate good, God. What I love about it is we need to remember we have no goodness, as I said, in us that is acceptable in God's sight because of sin. And we sin daily. So it's the ultimate good. We have to always remember that. Philippians 4 and 4 said, Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And what I love about that scripture, Paul, you know, he's one of the greatest ones in the faith that everybody talks about. Everybody wants that example. But he had to repeat himself because he know we're not going to listen. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord when you happy. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going your way. Rejoice in the Lord when you approve of things. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And I found this to be so good. I'm going to read it straight off the this commentary of mine that I read. It said, the church faces opposition within and without. Yet here Paul writes a letter about joy and telling the Philippians to rejoice. From a human perspective, it doesn't make sense. And yet the path to joy is to actually choose to rejoice. So Paul tells them to rejoice in the Lord always. And to drive home the point, he repeats himself. I will say it again, rejoice. Worldly happiness is not the same as godly happiness. Godly happiness is called joy. In the Bible, the word joy is a celebration term. Thus, Paul is calling for a celebration. The difference between joy and secular happiness is that the latter depends on what happens. It is circumstantial driven. So if things are going in an upward direction in life, you feel up. And if things are going in a downward situation, you feel down. This keeps you on an emotional roller coaster. And how many times we know we let what we see determine how we feel as Christians? As Christians, I could be in a dark place with the light living within me. Because we tend to live in this roller coaster life, allowing life circumstances and situations to determine what we're going to feel and how we're going to act and how we're going to treat others. 1 Thessalonians says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. These are just some key scriptures that in a dark place, you like, how? Like, and realistically, like, how can I be thankful for my mom being paralyzed in a nursing home, going through at her lowest point in life? How can I be thankful? We have to look beyond the circumstance, beyond that situation. George MacDonald, who is a Scottish author and poet and a Christian minister, wrote, "The Son of God suffered unto death, not that men might not suffer, but that their sufferings might be like his." Point blank, we're going to have trials and tribulations. Matthew 10 and 38 tells us to pick up our cross and follow him. That cross is not a light, fluffy pillar. It's not, you know, something nice and sweet. He went to death. He went to the cross and died. He was crucified. So that means that we will have sufferings. We will have trials and tribulations. Even our kids, even our teenagers, even our young adults, they dealing with so much these days. My daughter is 11 years old, and just the pressures of life have already started to hit her at 11. And I'm blown by it. Like, but I look back at my life and I'm like, I did have my moments too. But pressures of life it's not an age restriction on that. It's not like, oh, the devil said, I wait till they become 18. He starts as soon as you come out. Ah! That's when he starts. So our kids are going through trying to not bully people, getting bullied, being beat up, getting talked about. Can't build relationships with other people, can't get along with their parents, might be you, you know, having issues at home that they can't talk to you. Like, we all have problems. C.S. Lewis said in a book that he wrote, The Purpose of Suffering, suffering reveals our need for God. It's so sad that most of my darkest moments in my life is the most time that I went really and got on my knees to God. I started praying, fasting, you know, reading my scripture. And I'm like, when I seen my cycle, I was like, God, I want to love you when I'm happy. I want to be in your word when I'm happy. I want to get on my knees and pray and fast when I'm rejoicing. I don't want to wait till I hit rock bottom and be like, oh, woe is me, God, I need you now. Like, we need a foundation. It's building a foundation so when you hit rock bottom, when you hit that dark place, you can see the light. I have this story that I've read, and I want to read it because it was so impactful. It's about a guy named Billy. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor at age 35. Billy played college baseball, married his sweetheart, and fathered two sons. Convinced of the truth of Romans 8 and 28 and 29, he chose to believe God had a good plan for his bad cancer. Because Billy believed God could cause and even use something as destructive as a brain tumor, he responded in faith and trust. Billy stated, "Even though this is not what I planned for my life, I trust God to use it for good." His unshakable faith and peace were so profound that the church Billy went to, his leaders asked him to share his stories at a men's event. Billy agreed. Then he invited his younger brother, Jack, to go with him. Jack had never accepted any of Billy's invitations to go to church, but this time he said yes. When Billy finished telling his story, the pastor invited attendees to come forward if they wanted to know how to have a relationship with God. Jack was the first person out of his seat. "I've always thought Billy's faith was a crutch," Jack said, "but watching him go through 3 surgeries, chemotherapy, and radiation made me realize what he had was real. And I wanted it." Billy didn't survive his battle with cancer, but because he chose to respond in faith and trust, many people, including his younger brother, came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Billy's cancer wasn't good, but God used it for good to make him more like Christ and to draw others into a faith relationship with him. This is a real story, so it's not made up. And I think that's such the point. I had years ago, my younger brother died in a car accident. A drunk driver hit him, killed him. And I was a Christian at the time, and I had way more than a mustard seed faith, as they tell you you need to have. And I just knew God was going to bring him through. I really didn't even ponder it or nothing. I'm like, oh, God going to save him because I'm saved. God didn't. He took him. He did not save him. And to see the good in that, it was so hard. So hard. But it drew me closer to God like never before. If not for that moment, I might not be right here today. And this for me is big. I love God's people. I love talking about God's word. I love seeing transformation. I love seeing life change. But if God would not have took my brother, and he didn't have to do that, but I believe in that moment, I chose to see the light in it. The light in it for me was that I drew closer to God. Right now with my mom, the light in it for me, I'm so confused because I love God with all my heart. I would do anything for God's people. But I know it's some good to come out of this. And I know it's strengthening my faith. It's strengthening my faith walk with him every day. Every day it's a battle for my mom. Every day it's a battle for me and my siblings. But I see God working through my sister. And I think I've said it before, she's a homosexual, which I'm praying for daily. But I see her drawing closer to God. I see her talk changing. I see her mindset changing. I see her wanting to dive deep in the scriptures, inviting me to Bible app things to do together. I see the light. God is moving. We have to choose to see it. If we don't choose to see it, we will see destruction. It's school shootings every other week. It's mass shootings in hospitals, in grocery stores, in churches. I dare them to come in church on the rock because we strapped, but yeah. But it's so much destruction going on around us. It's so much destruction going on around us. Everywhere you look, I know everything is going great in your life, I'm so happy for you, but I know you got a friend. I know you got a sister. I know you got somebody in your life that you know things are not going great for. I have 3 points that I just want to close like with. The 3 points to help with our spiritual perspective. The first one is the good news. It's very simple, the Bible. You could take it anywhere with you these days. It's on your phone. You have to. I know it's kind of boring, and I know younger kids probably like, that thing too big, or I don't understand. It's like, thou shalt not, you know, what is all of those? The Bible is the place to go, though, because that's where you're going to find your strength. And I just told the sister just this week that you have to read it till you believe it. I mean, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay. When I'm going through, that sounds great, but I have to keep repeating that stuff to myself so I could believe. This is the truth. If we're Christians, this is the truth. We don't believe nothing else but the truth. So help me God. So we believe his word. We have to be in it. We cannot think that our life is going to transform and change and we're going to go higher in Christ and he's going to deliver us. He's going to bring us the man of our dreams. He's going to bring me that white horse and that dark tall man. No, You got to get in your word, because a lot of people are looking for things, but they're looking in all the wrong places. The first place to start is the word of God. Psalms 119 and 105 says, your word is a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. That simply says to me when I was thinking about this is that if you don't have his word, you're walking in the dark. And you know how in the middle of the night you get up to use the bathroom, you stump that toe, and hopefully you say, Jesus. You know, you're walking in the dark. You have no light. You don't see your way. So his word is a lamp to your foot. His word will help guide you through everything, y'all. When I tell you, you think like, oh, I'm going through this and nobody else is. Google it. I bet it's the scripture come up to help you. Google not always right, but my daughter says it is. And so like, but Google it, and I'm telling you, it is a scripture to help strengthen you along your walk. Number two, your circle of people that you keep around you is so important. That circle can make you or break you. When we even look at the word of God and see who we don't need to be around in our lives, Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Is your circle a group of people that encourage you and build you up? If they right beside you, don't look at them. But are they encouraging you and building you up in God? Proverbs 16 and 28, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Is your circle somebody that's always starting something? Kids, I know, I just say kids, but adults deal with this too. Every age group. Are your friends always starting drama? Are your friends always gossiping about somebody? And if they are, you know, normally when they're probably not around you, they're gossiping about you. Check your circle. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. Now, I'm not calling nobody a fool, but look at your circle. Check your circle. That circle, when you're going through dark times and even high times, they are there for support. They are there encouraging you and building you up. If you don't have a good circle, reorganize your life. Number three, prayer and fasting. Fasting is a much needed discipline in the life of a believer. Even though fasting and praying is not a commandment, God don't have to command us to eat. He know we gonna do it. He don't have to say, Dasha, you have to eat it 3 days a week. You know we need to do it. Prayer and fasting is needed in the life of a believer. In the Bible, it was different reasons that they went to praying and fasting to gain victory. Judges 20 and 26 talked about all the people went up to Bethel and they were weeping before the Lord. They also fasted until that day and evening. The next day, the Lord gave them victory over the Benjamites. After losing the 40,000 men in battle in 2 days, the Israelites cried out to God for help. And he gave them victory through fasting and praying. I know fasting is not a big thing for people. They don't really do it that much these days. And it's hard. It's one of the hardest things for me as a believer. It's really hard, but you can do it. And that circle of friends that you keep around you will encourage you to do the right things and will do it along with you to give you some support. People also prayed and fast to worship God as well. This was Anna in Luke 2 and 37. It states, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna was devoted to God, and fasting was one of the expressions of her love to him. So not just singing a worship song, a pretty melody, but praying and fasting is also a worship to Christ. Also, praying and fasting is great for ministry. Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and prayed and fasted because he had a task at hand. When you're faced with situations, whatever, your ministry is in your home. You don't have to be up here to be like, oh, you got a ministry. No, your ministry starts at home first with your loved ones, with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends, with your family. When you know, and I'm sure so many of us know so many unbelievers, if they're not right in your house, praying and fasting will help break those chains. I was thinking about this message Friday's to darkest and darkest. And I have some questions I just want you to think about. Are you going through a circumstance where you can't see God working? Like, you don't have to answer that out loud, but just think to yourself, like, do you not see him? I've been through times and still go through times where I don't see him working. I don't feel him working. But that's when I have to put my spiritual eyes on and get into my word and really choose to see the light. When has God caused a difficult circumstance to work together for good in your life? I know it's difficult circumstances that you've all been through that you might not have thought about the good that probably came out of it, but to rethink about it and see what good came out of it. You have to choose to see good. What situations seem out of control in your life right now? What seems like you don't have a handle on it, or you can't grasp it, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know who to turn to? I have the answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We make it so difficult. I need to go to this doctor. I need to go to this psychiatrist. I need to talk to this person. I need to talk to Jesus. He is the one, the only one that can help us. Today, take a moment and thank God that he is working all things together for good. Even in the circumstances where you don't see him, he will reveal it to you through prayer, fasting, and reading your word. You will see. You will see his light in the midst of the darkness, because we're all going to be faced with it one time or another. I also have some tools and ammunition to help us fight the enemy that this church offers weekly, monthly, all the time. But you have to, once again, choose to take part of it. We have the Bible, for one. Everybody has this. That's one of your main tools and ammunition to fight in the midst of the darkness. We have our serve team. Our National Serve Day is coming up July 16th. And that's the time where you can get with like-minded believers and serve the community and build relationships with people that think like you think and the people that's trying to serve Christ like you're serving. We have Sisters, a ministry that we started that's every fourth Friday at 6:30 p.m. And if you missed it last Friday, you missed a treat. It was so what we need. It encourages us as women to all get together and lift each other up and have fun in the time of doing it and receive a fresh word from God. We have life groups, summer, fall, and spring, where you can get with like-minded believers again and learn and grow together and build relationships. We have prayer services every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Now, I know that doesn't fit everyone's schedule, and that's fine, but it's some of you sitting at home. Some of you sitting at home in the light, in the dark, and you could be in the light in prayer. Like, we offer these things to help fight the physical and spiritual warfare that's going on in all of us. We have 21 days of prayer and feasting coming up in August. Thank God it's feasting. But we have 21 days of prayer and feasting coming up in August where we're going to go in prayer. 21 days straight with each other. Like, we have things that we try to do to get you spiritually prepared for what the enemy will do. Not that we thinking he might, but he will do it. But you have to be prepared, because if he come and you don't have your feet planted in God's word, you will be shaken and you will stumble and you will be crying in the dark by yourself, and you have the word of God right there. What I love about God is that he does so many great things for us, but we have to choose to believe it and we have to choose to see it. Right now, we're going to call our prayer partners up. And as they come up, my heart for this service is not that you hear and see us, but that you choose to hear and see God and whatever he has for you. You might be that person that's in the midst of a dark place right now, and you don't see no way out. You don't see no good nowhere around. And you need somebody to touch and agree with you. Now, we're not magicians. We just believe and have faith in the power of Jesus Christ. And we're willing to touch and agree with you that you will see the light, that you will choose to change your circumstances spiritually. Because things, after this prayer, you might go out this door and things might stay the same. The enemy wants you to see that. The enemy wants you to see destruction. The enemy wants you to see, going through cancer, going through all of these bad diagnoses. But we know we serve a great God, a powerful God. If you feel like you're that person that need to step out and you need to reconnect, we're asking that you come forth. Excuse somebody. Step up. Ask them to move out your way so you can come. If you know you're sitting by somebody and they need to come up for prayer, grab their hand and be that bold person in their life and bring them up for prayer. We have so many marriages that's falling apart, so many homes that's not right, financial issues, struggling with decisions that need to be made. If that's you, we ask you to come up and just let go, surrender. Don't think about the person sitting next to you, what they're going to think. I need to go down. I need to be down there for prayer. We all need connections. And the Bible tells us if two or three gather together in his name's sake, there he will be in the midst. This is not a forced thing. This is just if you want it. If you feel like you don't even know where you stand at with him, and you want somebody to touch and agree with you, we ask that you come down for prayer. Whatever you feel led to do, but somebody can pray with you. You might be at a bright moment, but you need to see God. And you need that connection. I'm just asking if that's you, be that one that will come out in a step of faith. Because so many times we want God to show up in our situation, but we don't want to take the first steps. We'll go home sad, confused, doubting him, but not willing to take that first step to say, you know what, God, I need you. I'm going through. I don't know. I'm confused. I ask you, God, to just touch the hearts of the people, Lord Jesus. Even if you're on the serve team, our serve team members, they go through. Our staff, they go through. Our leaders, they go through. Our kids, they go through. This is not just an adult moment. This is young adults, kids, senior citizens, whoever you may be. Just listen to God's voice and allow him to lead and guide you in this moment.